RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
So I'm reading from the AA press release where they say the AA says new funding for road maintenance and addressing drunk and drugged driving will make for safer and more reliable travel around the country. AA Road Safety spokesperson Dylan Thomas says the increased focus on these areas in the government policy statement, GPS, that has been released are much needed and will help tackle some of the big challenges we face in transport. And Dylan Thompson joins me here at RCR. Hi, Dylan. Thanks for coming on.
G'day, Paul.
It's our common experience, isn't it? The road. Roads.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things I've sort of said for a while is I think our roads in particular, but our transport system in general, it's kind of like a shop window. So it has a big impact on not just people's lives, but also how they feel about things and how they think things are going in the country. So, you know, if they're looking around and they think that the roads are not in good shape, they think that the trains and buses aren't running reliably, things like that.
Or the ferries.
Or the ferries. It really has a big impact on people's outlook on how they think things are going in the country and basically, you know, whether they're running well and things are improving or not. So I think, you know, not only do they make a real difference for just enabling people to get around and do what they want to do, but also how they feel as well.
Yeah, I hear people say, well, is this a third world country now when you know, you see the condition of some roads and some, even in my area, are noticeably degrading. You can see it.
We do regular surveying of our members, and the issue of the quality of the roads and the road surface in particular, you know, so we're kind of talking about potholes to a large degree. That has consistently been people's number one concern that they've listed in terms of their transport concerns every year. And we've seen that grow over sort of year after year up until our most recent survey of AA members last year. We had close to 75%, so close to three quarters of our members around the country were saying that the quality of the road surface was the thing that they were most concerned about in transport, which is, you know, one of the reasons why the AA has been calling for a number of years for more investment in road maintenance and looking to actually get our roads back into better shape. The other thing is it's not just people's perceptions of that. You know, the reason that we've seen that figure increasing in the surveys is because people are right, and they've noticed that there has been a deterioration in the quality of roads because of a lack of maintenance or not enough maintenance over a sustained period. So, you know, New Zealanders have noticed that, they've seen it, and they've been very unhappy about it.
Yeah, because, I mean, I've been around for a while, and it was always, even though we were a little country and we had, you know, the resources that we had, that we always prided ourselves in really trying to have a first world, use that term, infrastructure. You know, we, in all sorts of sectors, we were renowned for our aircraft maintenance. You know, we were renowned for being able to put power stations in across rivers. And I think the railways were built in the late 1800s in a record time, considering the geographical limitations. So we've prided ourselves in that. My point is, what do you think happened? What happened?
That's a really big question to try and answer. But just in terms of what I know about the road maintenance sort of aspect, we have not been investing enough, or you know, successive governments over a period have sweated the asset, really, to use a term, and we haven't been putting enough money investment into preventative maintenance. And you know, and I say that preventative maintenance deliberately, because if we do the work regularly and consistently to maintain the roads and we are renewing them, it will actually stop them getting to that point where they start to break up, fall apart, and we see the potholes and those kind of major issues we've seen. So it's kind of like, you know, painting your house, where you can sort of put it off and put it off for a little while, but then there reaches a certain point where if you push it too far, suddenly you start to get water getting in, get major damage, then you've got to get builders involved and do much more substantial work. And so, you know, we haven't been putting enough investment into maintaining the network we've got over a considerable period. At the same time, the volume of traffic travelling on those roads has increased. You know, we've seen sort of around about a 16% increase in traffic on the New Zealand road network over a decade. And we've had more extreme weather events taking place as well. And those sort of things compound on each other. So, you know, we haven't had enough money going in to enable enough work to be being done. And at the same time, the roads are getting used more, which means they wear out faster.
Yeah. And the people charged with maintaining them seem to be the last to know, just say, but okay. So that deals with increased maintenance funding. What about road policing? You've made some comments on that. What is your assessment of the standard of policing of New Zealand roads right now?
Well, what I always say when I'm talking about road policing is all the police officers I know and I deal with, the road policing officers, they are extremely passionate about what they do. They want to be out there and making a difference to helping keep everyone safe on the roads, you know, enforcing the rules, those kind of things. But we have seen that over a number of years, the police have not been able to hit their targets around road policing. They have struggled to do the amount of drunk driving alcohol tests that they aim to do every year. So they've had a target of 3 million tests a year for a number of years. For quite a number of years in the last decade, they have been at less than 2 million a year.
That's huge. That's huge.
It is. And last year, they got back up over the 3 million mark for the first time in a decade, which was absolutely fantastic to see. And it took a huge effort from the police to do that. So I really pay tribute to them in that regard. And, you know, we've wanted to see that for a number of years and been calling for it, because we think that that makes a huge difference on our roads around drunk driving and essentially people seeing police out there regularly, people getting pulled over and checked themselves, or hearing about other people being checked. And you know, the good news is the vast majority of New Zealanders these days don't drink and drive at all. They either won't drink any alcohol, or at the most they may have one drink if they know they're going to be behind the wheel. So we've seen a big cultural shift over decades around that. But there is a small group who unfortunately still either deliberately go out and drink and then knowing they'll get behind the wheel, or there's some people who go out and they get drunk and then they lose the ability to make good choices. And we need to have those high numbers of alcohol tests to catch the people who are breaking the rules, but also more importantly, to deter people and make them rethink that, I'm not going to risk it because I might get caught. You know, I would love people to just more make the choice, I'm not going to do it because I don't want to put myself or other people at risk. But for certain people, that fear of getting caught is the greater motivator. And we want to see a greater police presence back out on our roads. We want the police to be able to have their road officers out there, not just doing alcohol tests, but also just having a high-profile presence out on the roads, because we think that makes a big difference to the behaviour and people taking less risks and driving a little bit more carefully and cautiously when you have that police presence. And I think, you know, that's something that that is going to be a big challenge for New Zealand over the next few years, because we need to make sure that the police have the officers and the resources and, you know, the ability to be able to do the job that we would like to see them doing.
Yeah, I've done Wellington, Auckland, driving both ways, you know, return trips about three times in the last year. Probably only saw one or two cops the whole way, actually, just saying. Now, there's also measures to do roadside drug testing as well, along with the alcohol. It's been a long time coming. I think they've been doing that in Australia and other jurisdictions around the world for quite some time. It's taken us quite a long time to follow up. How significant is that, do you think?
Well, we think that that's very significant. So, yeah, Victoria and Australia, it was sort of close to 20 years ago that they started doing it. So we are a long way behind a number of other places. If we look at some of the stats, you know, we've had close to 100 deaths a year in recent years in New Zealand where drivers have been found, or drivers or riders have been found to have drugs in their system, and the police have deemed that that contributed to the crash afterwards. So quite similar numbers to the number of fatal crashes involving alcohol. So, you know, we think that doing more to actually target drug driving and again, sending that message to people that there is a risk of you being caught and you need to change your behaviour if you're somebody who's going out there and taking substances and then getting behind the wheel. We think that introducing roadside drug testing is a really key part of that. And so we're keen to see that happening on our roads as soon as we can get it in. There's legislation that needs to be passed by the government first, and then the police will have to go through a process to get the testing devices, train up their officers, things like that. So it's going to be a little while before we see it out on the roads. But we're really hoping next year, 2025, that the police will actually start to have the ability to test people where they suspect that somebody.
Yeah, they have to suspect, right? You can't just bail people up and give them an automatic test like alcohol. You take a breath test, and if there's evidence, that it goes further, right?
Well, the police will have the discretion to use the test as they see fit, but the reality is it's not going to be the same sort of numbers that we do for alcohol tests. It's going to be a much smaller number and much more targeted. So the way that it tends to work in other countries, and I see no reason why it wouldn't be that way here, is if a police officer gets somebody to do an alcohol test with the, you know, the sniffer device, as they're called, that initial test, and the person passes that, doesn't have alcohol on their breath, but the police officer is thinking this person does not seem to be quite right, and I think that they're not completely sober and fit.
Like saying, "Wow, man," all the way through, or something like that.
When you talk to police officers, it is amazing actually what some people are very happy to say or divulge or things like that. So there probably will be some cases that you're joking.
I kind of was semi-joking because I'm not saying I know, but yeah, I can see what sort of cues you'd pick up on. All right, it's all right saying all this, and maybe the last government needs to say, you know, we're going to make sure the roads are good and all that. The proof's in the pudding. So from the perspective of the AA, you mentioned, you know, next year for that roadside testing, we'd want to see some evidence, if this all comes into play, of potholes disappearing and things kind of feeling like they're being maintained, worked on, and, you know, and the people who are tasked with it are doing their job. So how long do you think your members will be tolerant of the current situation before they want to see evidence of change?
Yeah, you absolutely hit the nail on the head, which is, you know, the GPS sets your strategic direction for the government of the things they want focused on, and it sets the levels of investment and their ranges. So, you know, between X amounts and Y, But the key thing that really matters is what we actually get for that investment. And, you know, and that's the thing that we work at the AA to monitor and keep track of. And it can be quite complex to try and keep track of some of these things, but we can't just invest more and think, well, that's great, that solved that problem. You know, it's about, yes, the AA's calculations have shown that we think we needed to be investing more in road maintenance, but now we've got to make sure that we get absolutely maximum value out of every dollar that is spent, not just in maintenance, all across the transport sector. You know, we've got, there's so much demand for projects and people wanting to see stuff being built and improved. So that challenge for the government on making sure that actually we get more results, more bang for our buck, is huge. And that's one of the things we want to see as the AA. So, you know, we'll be monitoring things like how many lane kilometres of road gets rehabilitated or renewed. And, you know, this is where it gets all into sort of real transport nerd terminology and stuff.
Yeah, transport nerd, yeah.
but it does matter for whether people see that pothole that they keep swerving to hit on their drive to work, whether that gets fixed quicker or not. Or more importantly, we don't just want it filled in as a temporary fix. We want some more substantial work done to that road so it ends up, doesn't have a pothole, and it's going to stay that way for years. I've got to say, just being realistic, that it's not going to be a really quick fix to turn that around on the roads. You know, we've got sort of 100,000 kilometres of road network, and only so much of it can be worked on at a time. But I'm hopeful that sort of within 12 months, we will be able to see some measures showing, yep, things are improving, more work is being done. And I think realistically, you know, it's a 3-year kind of time frame that people could see a noticeable difference in the roads in terms of them, less potholes, less damage, just a better standard of road. Within 3 years, people should notice a difference if we're seeing that work actually being delivered for that greater investment.
Okay, nice to chat with you. If they're tight for money, they could always sell a whole lot of road cones, you know.
There's plenty around.
Aren't they? They're everywhere, and I don't like them. I know there's safety is needed, but a lot of people don't like road cones.
Well, I think, you know, that's one of the areas that that the government has said they want to see sort of improvement on, and I think, you know, a lot of people in the public would absolutely agree with that. Of, we need to make sure that our work sites are safe for the people working on the roads. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Can we do that in a way that works a bit better? But, you know, do we need the amount of cones? Do we need to do things differently? And, you know, for example, I know something that that's been looked at and it's been used by NZTA in a number of projects now where they can, is it can be better to actually close a stretch of road completely and work just to get that done as quickly as possible with no traffic, rather than having it as a live site and having to, for the job to take, you know, 3-4 times as long because you're constantly having to do stop-go with traffic. So so from the AA's perspective, yeah, we think we should be looking at the way we do that traffic management and looking to try and make that better, make it you know, cheaper and more efficient if we can, also just make better sense to people. So that's one of those areas where I think we can do things better to get the same result, but maybe a bit quicker and cheaper. That'll be fantastic.
It's probably more cones than sheep now. All right. Dylan Thompson, safety spokesman for AA. Thanks for coming on RCR and explaining the AA's response to this plan. And we'll chat again, I'm sure.
Pleasure. Thanks, Paul.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.